You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
We are children in this universe when we allow our innocence to lead. Chasing butterflies across the sky, dancing through the fields. Caterpillar inches up the tree with such a steady contemplation. He holds a secret deep inside. It's the truth of transformation. There you are, running through the field, soaring with the wind, gliding on the breeze. The caterpillar weaves itself into a cocoon. We cannot rush the process. No, don't wanna break her out too soon. Nature has a plan. Divine timing is at hand. For after the struggle, you will see that butterfly flying free. There you are, running through the field, soaring with the wind, gliding on the breeze. You are free.
That caterpillar in this.
Hello and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the Conscious Living Network community world. Even if you're not part of the Conscious Living Network community, you probably want to do that. ConsciousLivingNetwork.net. You can visit us there and sign up on our list, or visit ConsciousLivingRadio.org, our radio program that has been running here in Vancouver for the past 12 years. And interestingly enough, the station is still on lockdown. So we are doing our radio program. We're recording as we do a live Facebook broadcast, working with the new ways of the world, social media and things of that nature. And we'll be airing our program still every Wednesday, 6 p.m. on Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver. And remember, it's a volunteer-run community station. So if you feel the need, you want to support the work that not just we do at Conscious Living Network, Conscious Living Radio, you can certainly support Co-op Radio, as you know, funds are always great for these kind of community platforms. So check out Conscious or Co-op Radio at 100.5 FM. Now today, it gives me great pleasure to speak with a friend of mine, Deus Fortune. And we are going to be speaking on the topic of consciousness architecture, the art of crafting reality. A little bit about Deus. Well, you know, he's had over a decade of rigorous study in realms of consciousness. And he's a transformational facilitator and coach who specializes in equipping people with the tools and skills needed to integrate higher states of consciousness into everyday life. Welcome, Deus. Good to see you here, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. We've been talking about this for some time, so it's nice to actually sit down with you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to make these things happen, and I love the flexibility that is happening in the world today. It's certainly some strange and interesting times with, you know, the social distancing and everything that's been happening. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate in the sense of social distancing that people are actually literally socially distant versus coming together. Because I've always been saying from the beginning, you know, 6 feet is a physical thing. It's not a social thing. You don't measure social with a measuring tape or a ruler, you know. And I think that right now it's really important to bring people back to connecting. Even though we're 6 feet apart or wearing a mask or whatever we're doing so that we feel safe in today's world, I just want to encourage people to really, let's be close. Smile at your neighbors, say hello. Like, people are lacking that social connection. And, you know, that's a whole consciousness thing there too. So,
absolutely.
You know, before we dive into everything that's going on and what we're going to be talking about today, why don't you tell our audience and viewers a little bit about yourself so we know who you are and what your story is.
Sure. It's a pretty long story, so I'll just give you the nutshell version. When I was 20 years old, I decided that I wanted to be a monk. And this was right on the tail of a really powerful, indescribable spiritual experience that I had while I was backpacking in Guatemala that just completely flipped my reality upside down. Mm-hmm. And it reprioritized a lot of the things in my life. Like, I didn't really care about finances or a career or even relationship at that particular time. The only thing I cared about was enlightenment. I needed to know what truth was, who I really was, what reality really was. And so I sold everything that I owned. I said goodbye to everybody, my friends and my family, and I went to go be a monk down in California with Self-Realization Fellowship. And they didn't allow me into the order at that stage. They wanted me to get more life experience before I took lifelong vows that were quite rigorous vows. And I came back to Canada and got into a relationship, and that really changed the trajectory of my life. And from that point moving forward, for like the next 6 years, I'd say, I was in this battle of having to reintegrate into the world and into society when it wasn't something that I really felt called to do. So much of my life was about escaping the distorted and destructive systems, the socioeconomic structures that govern our world. And I was retreating into the safe haven of my own inner sanctum. And so I was using meditation and spirituality for two reasons. One, to really discover and excavate deeper levels of truth within myself. But the second reason was to actually escape the living reality that we're a part of in this three-dimensional realm. And so over that period of time, I was really reconciling that. And in so doing, I immersed myself in a lot of different explorations, a lot of psycho-spiritual trainings. I began working regularly with plant medicines. I was introduced to and invited into supporting various indigenous ceremonies, including Sweat Lodge and Sundance, and have been supporting those since 2012. And then this one moment really transformed everything for me when I was taking a program called Creativity and Consciousness down in Laurelwood, Oregon, with one of my teachers, Dana Lynn Anderson, who's a phenomenal artist. She's got a PhD in consciousness studies from Johns Hopkins University and is a very well-practiced Kriya yogi. She's been practicing for decades now. And so she had combined these three elements, her artistry, her studies in consciousness, and her practice with Kriya yoga into one comprehensive modality that she calls transformative art. And without going into a huge explanation of it, the basic premise for this practice is you dive into whatever is alive inside of your system on a emotional level, and you allow that thing to fully inhabit and express through your form and all these artistic modalities. So you explore it through sound, you explore it through movement, you explore it through color, you sculpt and you embody it, you allow it to live and breathe and express fully through your system. And in so doing, a kind of alchemy happens where, like, this is my anger, I'm feeling a lot of anger. Instead of being identified with this anger, I now enter into a living relationship with the anger, where I'm listening to it. Like, what do you feel like? How do you move? How do you express? What wisdom do you have to share with me and others? And in doing that, not only do you liberate the feeling more fully, but you discharge the stored energy and you loosen your identity attachment to it. And in exploring that particular modality, it reconciled everything that was dissonant in myself, because it actually created a bridge between the spiritual realms of creative potential, inspiration, imagination, these receptive qualities, these interiorized qualities. And it created a bridge between those and expression. And it's the expression that creates the bridge of relationship and intimacy in all the ways that I had been longing for. So this actually reconciled my inner world, which I was heavily focused on, and the external relationships and connections I have with the three-dimensional world around me. And it built that bridge. And from there, I just started moving into a lot of different forms of offerings. I started writing and performing spoken word poetry, putting together workshops, and eventually that built itself into the Impeccable Man Masterclass, which is a coaching program that I have, and also evolved into facilitating plant medicine ceremonies with myself and my partner, Aga. So that was really the catalyst for a lot of the things that I'm offering right now. But everything leading up to that was really a super focused exploration into the realms of consciousness and higher states of consciousness, because I didn't like the world.
Well, I got a few questions for you about that, but I wanted to comment I love how you communicate and your expressiveness, you know, you're totally moving with your arms, you're directing, like you're engaged in what you're saying. And so I was kind of identifying with, as you're speaking, this teacher in Oregon who, you know, the transformational expressive art, and knowing that you do spoken word, and I've seen and heard, you know, some of your great stuff, which I'm going to ask you to share something later in the program. It's just fun to see that expressive. And, you know, when you're speaking with people and having these conversations, you know, everybody expresses differently, right? And I could be pretty animated too. So I just wanted to acknowledge that in you, because I love that, you know, that the glow in your eye, the smile on your face, as you're totally passionate about what you're sharing. So yeah, now,
thank you.
Yeah,
it took some time to cultivate that. That wasn't something that was natural for me. I was actually quite reserved for a lot of my life. So mm-hmm. to like open up those faculties took a lot of work.
You're the only one out there watching, listening, and speaking on this program that's done that, Dave.
I know. I don't say that very often because nobody can relate to it.
Exactly. Nobody, like everybody, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting that you wanted to become such a monk at such a young age. At what point did you notice growing up as a kid that there was either something more, something different that you wanted to get out of that 3D world you were talking about?
Pretty much as early as I can remember, if I'm honest about it, like right from the point where I started getting introduced into institutionalized systems like our education system.
Yeah.
I really, really struggled to submit to that and was asking a lot of questions of my parents and authority figures. And none of them had any real answers for me. Like, why do I have to do this? Because we're telling you to. Or, yeah. You know, as I grew older and I'm like learning math in grade 7 that my parents can't even remember how to do, I'm like, why are we learning this if it's mm-hmm. not relevant to your movement through life? Like, why are we being forced into this kind of enclosed container? And nobody had any answers for me, but I have these memories of when I was really young and it was my bedtime and I wasn't ready to go to sleep. So I'd be laying down in my bed and I'd conduct these little consciousness experiments with myself. Like I would focus on a single point on my wall and look at it with such intensity that everything around it would slowly turn black. And it was the only thing that I could see as like this pulsating wave of light. And I realized if I concentrated even more, then the black actually started turning into white. And I was in a totally dark room and everything around it would start turning white and it would start shifting forms. And I was fascinated at what was happening as I directed all of my psychic energy in one specific direction, or doing things like I would stare at my hands and ask, who is moving the hands when I decide that the hands are going to move. Mm-hmm. Like I can feel the constriction happening in the hands, and I know that I'm participating in that movement. But at that young age, I wasn't yet identified so strongly with the form. I was just fascinated that somehow I was involved in the movement of this physical structure, but I was curious about who actually moved the hands when I made the decision for that to happen. And again, I didn't have any answers to this because I was raised Catholic, and I'm very, very grateful for that. It gave me a real tangible relationship with the divine when I was young. Like I would pray every night on my own. I would have these genuine experiences of connection to something beyond myself when I was young, but it turned into the dogmatic teachings of the Catholic religion. And I stepped away from that because it wasn't answering any of the questions that I was interested in. And so I actually became an atheist throughout my teenage years. And then when I started getting exposed to a lot of alternative views on spirituality and religion, which actually, funny enough, happened through my Catholic school. Part of the religion program was we were given the basic understanding of Buddhism and Hinduism and Judaism, and all these things were given like a rough idea of what those spiritual teachings had to offer, which really opened me up. And then started moving into the more new age concepts of energy work and synchronicity and the secret and things like that, the ability to manifest your reality. And as soon as I started getting access to those things, it just exponentially blasted me into these realms of spiritual seeking, because it started touching upon what I was interested in getting information on all the way back from when I was a child. And it started pointing more to this is a deeper structure of reality that is playing itself out throughout your experience. And so it was tying together the interface between consciousness and three-dimensional reality and giving more orientation towards how to engage in a meaningful way. And as soon as I had that, I was like, okay, I'm gone. this is what I was looking for. Thank you, everybody. I'm leaving now.
Great story. And it's interesting because I can actually relate, growing up as a kid and growing up Catholic. I didn't have so much, a spiritual experience in my, Catholicism as growing up. But I do recall stories, times just staring at that wall at night, and having that kind of, these wonderings. And yeah. Then it was, I remember the first time, I might've been 7 or 8, and it was, we lived in a small little island in what's now Haida Gwaii. It was Queen Charlotte's at the time. And I remember I was at the post office. It was a dinky little island. 500 people lived there. It was a mining town. And it dawned on me that I was thinking about, because I was supposed to meet a friend to go swimming in the afternoon. And it dawned on me that, well, he's over there. We're having a conversation on a phone, but he's in his head and his, I got this understanding, this separate consciousness of individuals, and right. Started questioning that, and that was kind of like my first kind of like a conscious awareness of my own thinking of our own individuality, yet our mind and what's going on in there, and how we're individual. We can be at different places in space and time, yet we're 3 hours away talking to someone back east on the phone, yet it's the same time, but it's 3 hours different. Hang on a second here. So as a kid, I was wrapping my head around how all of that worked, And I also wanted to make a comment, what you were talking about, the schooling system, And it's interesting because, you're talking about stuff from your parents going to school that they don't remember, stuff we all went to school and don't use today. And it was funny, I was just in a 5-day intensive program that I just finished. And one of the comments was, as much as the world is changing today in terms of business, health, wealth, economy, everything, our education system has fundamentally not changed for decades, literally decades, with all the new things we've been learning in the world.
Right.
So I just thought, when you said that, it just really dawned on me that, we've got so much more we can do to teach the younger people coming up with tools to actually better navigate this world, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And it's normal for it and common for children to have these kinds of questions and these explorations, because they haven't been fully molded into a particular mode of thinking and are connected to different realms of perception that a lot of adults have actually shut down their sensory capacity towards. Mm-hmm. So in those moments of them being malleable, being forced into a very particular rigid form of thinking where the entire system is predominantly directed towards getting children to regurgitate very specific information in a very limited kind of way, and not encouraging or fostering the development of things like creativity, social skills, spiritual connection, energetic sensitivity. Mm-hmm. Like all of these things are fundamental aspects of being a human that are already alive in the child that are being suppressed or pushed down or devalued in preference to the intellectual development. It creates like cookie cutter humans who actually think in a very specific way. And part of that is through languaging. You know, you train them to regurgitate information, and then you put a numerical grading system on how well they're able to regurgitate that information. Then you create a social hierarchy that starts self-reinforcing and cutting people down for not doing well, or cutting people down for doing too well.
Yeah. And then you call poppy syndrome, right?
Yeah. Then that just spirals out into what it's like to be an adult, and then fueling this drive, this competitive drive where we're actually against each other, all of us trying to reclaim the sense of self-worth that has just been completely shut down, as well as our expression, you know, our feelings and our ability to connect. It shuts down all of those things. We have to relearn it as an adult. And this kind of ties into the plant medicine realm, because this is a lot of what the healing work is coming back to our inherent state of fullness that is actually irrevocably connected to the core essence of who we are. We have to rediscover that and actually wade through the whole swamp of trauma and conditioning and disempowering programs that have been installed inside of us, and then reconcile the emotions that are attached to all of those things. That's what the healing journey is. It's just coming back to our inherent fullness from a greater place of awareness and maturity that we have access to as adults. But it's not like we're learning anything new. We're just releasing the things that we've been imprinted with that have actually kept us restricted and inhibited and kind of dumbed down. Like, I have a curiosity of what humans would be if we actually trained the full capacity of the human from when we were young.
Oh yeah, well let's talk about that, because I have a few comments and questions. And one, and this is just my personal opinion based on my experience in life, and it's not to knock education, because I believe we always need to be learning, we always need to be growing. That's part of it, you know. But you know, you talk about the schooling system for a moment, but I just believe, you know, that's been designed, you know, back in the day so that we would conform, we'd become great factory workers, we would go get that Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job and kind of do what we're told. When the bell rings, we take a break or go for recess, or, you know, to condition us to learn. And that's just my own personal opinion, and that's why I think it's really important for us to, you know, wake up to, you know, natural education and laws of nature and the universe and things of that nature. But let's go back to what we're just talking about, you know, the, you know, maximum human potential.
Yeah.
You know, as a human animal in nature, right? Which is interesting, because, you know, we're the only species of living anything on this planet that actually lives to pay here, with, or pays to live here, which I always think is an interesting concept. And we do it in such bizarre ways. But if we take a look at the indigenous cultures, and you do have done a lot of work there, you know, if we look throughout history, there's always been a deep connection with the land and nature and the animals, and a respect for that. Mm-hmm. And there's always been these rites of passage for young men and young women that, you know, as they learn to respect the land, the animals, and, you know, commune with nature, there's also a rite of passage that we've kind of lost in this industrial Western society we're living in today. What do you think about that?
That's a really great question. I would actually just separate those two for a second, just to be able to understand some of the fundamental aspects of those in terms of being in right relationship with all living things. This is something that is across the board present in any type of indigenous tradition. And this is actually at the root of all religion. When you go into it, it has its roots in what's called animism, And animism is recognizing, to just paraphrase it, the living spirit within all things. And our ability to commune with the living spirit within all things. And the fact that we are constantly engaging with these forces, like we're in an interdependent system. None of us are independent. We are all reliant on each other and the forces of the natural world. This isn't anything new. This is perennial. Water, air, food, fire. All of these things make up our body. The elements make up the physical structure of our body, and we are interdependent with these systems. So it's practical, but when you start getting into the intimacy of it, recognizing that there's an actual relationship there, and then there's nothing ambiguous about it. You are actually in a living relationship with all of the forces that you're interacting with in the natural world. And so to live in a good way is to be in right relationship with all of those forces. So this is the orientation towards life that is present in a lot of indigenous cultures, which is why there's such an emphasis on relationship in those traditions, not just with each other as humans, because that's present too, very strong community connections, an emphasis on family and ancestry and where you come from and what you stand for. All of those things are present, but it expands out into the natural world as well. Pachamama, Gaia, Tunansin, Great Mother Earth, Father Sky, Wiracocha, all of these things are Grandfather Sun, Grandmother Moon. They're living beings that we are in an intimate relationship with. And that relationship requires attention and tending and love and affection and respect and consideration. All of those things are fundamental qualities of existing in this world, in this realm, this three-dimensional realm. So that's one component. And that's something that's absent from our culture to a large degree. We've been compartmentalized, in our boxes, our homes, isolated from each other, which is amplified right now with the social distancing and not being able to look at or communicate or engage with other people. It's really emphasizing that disconnect, which was already present, but it's also being amplified right now, I think.
Yeah. Tony Robbins said for years, I've heard it for years, but he would say, we live a boxed life. We wake up, we leave our box, we pack our box lunch, we leave our box, get in another box, go to another box to work all day, come back, enter your box again. And then and he'll say, and then sometimes we'll open a cylinder to change our state, and that's what he's talking about is that, this kind of compartmentalized life that, we're not, as much as we're alive and we're living, we're not fully alive and we're not fully living. Because we have this illusion of freedom, right? Yet we're trapped in this cage. Like we see that image of the bird in the cage with the door open and it doesn't leave.
Yeah. And from my perspective, this is linked very intimately with the education system. Mm-hmm. And intellectual
development is
very, very important, but it's a specific kind of thinking. It's how you think that is really constructed to a huge degree in our education system, and it's very reductionist, which creates separation and isolation rather than holistic systems thinking, which is recognizing organic, living, breathing, interdependent systems.
Controlling the masses with social distancing.
Right.
About nature. Anyways, not that we're going to digress on that. So consciousness architecture, the art of crafting reality, which is exactly kind of where we're just leading into in terms of our conscious choice and word and what we create. First off, my question to you, Deus, because I know what I think consciousness is. What is consciousness?
Good question. I have two answers to that. The first answer is what I have come to believe most people think of when you say consciousness. Mm-hmm. And consciousness is the sense of I-ness that exists perpetually throughout all changing circumstances, conditions, orientations. It's that singularity that persists throughout all time and space. It's the reference point, the singular reference point. And how I use consciousness in relation to consciousness architecture is it is the creative faculty of your spiritual self. So why I'm making this distinction is that my perception is that consciousness itself is actually beyond description. It's beyond duality. It's the non-localized perennial self. And as soon as you try to name it or speak about it or identify its qualities, you're actually not talking about it because you're breaking it down in constituent parts. And it is
into an understandable intellectual thing, right?
Right. And so it's really difficult to talk about that aspect of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But how I relate to it in regards to consciousness architecture is it is the power, the force, the capacity to generate life in any particular direction. So you can give your attention and your energy in a specific avenue, a specific object, an intention, and it will grow and develop. The ability to do that is the faculty of your consciousness. Because if you didn't have any kind of self-awareness or the ability to direct energy, you wouldn't be able to consciously influence or affect aspects of reality. And this is perhaps one of the markers that differentiates humans from other life forms, is that we have this capacity of self-awareness to intentionally direct energy in certain ways. So this is how I relate to consciousness as it applies to action, as opposed to the indecipherable totality of the I am presence.
Yeah, I love that you use the word awareness. You use that a couple of times, because in my basic beginning definition, whenever I look and talk about that, is awareness. You know, it's that, you know, are we aware of everything that's going on? And when you're tapped in, tuned in, turned on to everything, there's a whole different awareness. And so many right. times we're not even conscious about what's happening outside with the trees, with the plants, with your friends, with your family, whatever that is, because we're not aware.
Right.
And at the very foundation of our consciousness is the awareness.
Exactly. Right?
And then it's a mindfulness, and that grows all the time. And you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So we have to become aware of these things,
right.
which to me would be what I call conscious awareness. It's like, right. oh, I did that again, you yeah. know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you get there and go, oh, I just did it again. So you're three quarters of the way through. Oh, I'm doing it again. To have, mm-hmm. you know, until all of a sudden, before you even do it, you go, oh, I'm about to do it again, till the time you don't even do it anymore.
Right.
Right. But if you're not even aware you're doing it, and reaction or anger, as we were talking about in the beginning and things of that, if you don't look at anger as the tool that it is, let's become aware of where that anger came from.
Yeah.
Let's become aware of what's that doing in my body and how I am now. Am I reacting or am I responding? Am I using it as a tool to learn, create, and grow? Or am I using it to take that energy, because it's a powerful energy that you can use for many things? Are you using it to destroy, to mm-hmm. hurt, to maim? And, you know, that's kind of where I kind of go with it. And then we go on the spiritual path of the expanded consciousness of all oneness,
right.
which, you know, sometimes we'll just scare people away with that talk. So I like to start at a basic that we can all, you know, really agree with when we start talking about, are we even aware of
yeah.
our language, of our words? And this is the one thing I love about you too, is you're such a great linguist in terms of the, you know, your vocabulary, how you express yourself and things of that nature, because the power of our word is so important, right? And you know that, doing spoken word and how it relates and how syntax and order and sequence make a complete difference to meaning and interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just to tap onto what you're saying, there's, like, I hear you speaking to a couple different things. One is that our power, our potential as humans is intimately linked to bringing things into conscious awareness, like patterns, programs, unconscious behaviors, consequences of things, relational dynamics. Making that conscious, bringing it into awareness, actually empowers us to be able to choose.
Yeah.
So, but that seems to be a function of consciousness. Consciousness is the capacity, the ability to do that, to bring things into conscious awareness, is the faculty of consciousness itself. Mm-hmm. So actually utilizing your consciousness means to intentionally engage in the different dimensions of your being intentionally, to be able to make conscious choices with the fullest spectrum of information available from consequences to causes to your relationship to all of those things. All of that is contained within consciousness. And then from there, you make a decision, and your decisions influence and craft reality as you move forward.
Beautifully said. Nice. So let's talk about the power of the word in the sense of your spoken word, because I'd love for you to share something, you know, that I know you've got a number of different pieces, right? Do you have a particular favorite that if you could only do one of your pieces for the rest of your life, that you would, that would be it, or?
If I had to choose, I probably could. I don't have a favorite. They're all relevant for different topics. Mm-hmm. Like, let me break this down really quick. So my exploration of transformative spoken word poetry is a living exploration. So it's not just me thinking about something and writing it down. I'm actually in a process myself as I'm exploring the energetic structure of it. So I'm learning, I'm going through a process of realization as I'm writing these pieces. And again, as I'm sharing them, because the living energy embedded within the transmission changes every single time, depending on who's listening to me, my orientation at that particular moment in time, and what's happening in the world. So they all have different levels of relevance for me and for everybody else who's listening every single time I share them. So they're living pieces. And because of that, I wouldn't be able to choose one or the other, because they're not static. They're actually dynamic and constantly changing. And then how language kind of weaves itself into it is, language is something that really fascinates me. I used to hate speaking. It was something that I hated is the correct word for it. I would constantly shut.
That's a powerful word.
And avoid having to communicate, because trying to articulate a human experience always seemed to dilute it. Like, I couldn't fully express the totality of anything that was happening inside of me. So it seemed like I was A, misrepresenting it, and B, giving people a false impression of who I was and what I was going through, which just created frustration. Mm-hmm. So I decided, I just won't talk about anything that I care about.
Well, and it's so true, though. It's like what you're saying, because, you know, I've always said the experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
You know, like if somebody who'd never smelt a rose before asked you what a rose smelled like, you can do your best to describe it.
Yeah.
But you'll never have that experience without the experience.
Right. And this is the challenge of the spiritual teachers, mm-hmm. trying to describe enlightenment to those who don't have an experiential reference point.
Yes, exactly. Beautiful.
And with language, I had a shift in relationship to language, and it was also through the Transformative Art program, where I realized that words they're not designed to try to contain the totality of your experience. That's not their function. The function of language is, as far as I can tell, twofold. One, it helps us to integrate information, to integrate experiences, because information is how we language is how we organize information in our minds. Every word is it's like a treasure chest. It's a codex. It's a codex that contains within it a whole bunch of information. Like if I say something like apple, that contains all of the information of the construct of the apple, from the size, the shape, the flavor, the weight, like all of those things are contained within the one word apple. Mm-hmm. And so every word is a codex of a whole bunch of different pieces of information. And so the way you put together those words actually helps order information within your system to help you integrate it. But the other thing that language does is it creates a bridge of connection with those who are listening to you. You are creating, you're generating experience.
Abracadabra.
With my word, right? I create.
Exactly. Yes.
Every word that I'm saying is showing up within you as an image, as a thought, as a body sensation. It's giving an emotion. It's actually kind of guiding and directing some sort of internal experience within you that will have some similarities and relationship with what's happening inside of myself. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be exactly the same, but it creates a bridge. It creates a connection point where we have a reference for each other. We have some sense of cohesion and relatability. So in that sense, language is not designed to communicate the totality of your experience. It is to create bridges of connection and to create experiences. So if I go through something and I want to share it with other people, it's not to duplicate my experience in another. It is to harvest that experience and to create something new from it. That is the function of language.
All right. So you got something you want to share with us? You got a piece you want to share that would be relevant to consciousness architecture?
I do. This piece... All of my pieces are relevant to consciousness.
It's true.
But this one in particular, I think, is really relevant to what's happening in the world right now. Mm. And there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of intensity. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of frustration that is arising in our collective experience of humans on this planet right now, mm-hmm. from all the ancestral trauma that has been accumulated through generations and the distortions and disruptions we've been experiencing in this life right now as this culture. And I think this piece is really prevalent to what a lot of people are going through. It's certainly prevalent to what's alive for me right now. So I'd love to share. It's called Being Gentle is Hard. Being gentle is hard. I've spent so much time and energy developing this intricate facade that it feels like I'm going to have to spend the rest of my life just relearning how to be delicate and receptive in the hands of a living, loving, all-pervading God. That one living within everything. You, me. The birds and the bees, the flowers and the trees, the homeless drug addicts on the streets, the thump thump beneath the sheets, the Trumps and the Hillaries, even the most explicit expressions of hostility. Because you see, as these sharp surfaces of relationships take shape, the inevitable confrontational exchanges transform blisters into calluses, wounded hearts into malice. The sticks and stones of words and glances penetrate the very bones that hold up these delicate masks of skin. The day-to-day interplay becoming a dangerous game of thrones. We're all just soft and squishy things. Trying to be kings and queens, lost and confused, waiting, wishing, hoping, praying for circumstances to change in our favor, or better yet, deliver us a savior. But it's through the deepening practice of faith, meditation, and prayer that I've come to realize that that sure as hell isn't Jesus. He isn't coming back a second time to see us. His deed is complete, at least in a physical sense. And now it lies with us to implement the teachings that he embodied, even through his death and abandonment by those he carried closest, by those he brought right to the precipice of enlightenment. That is a real man right there. One willing to forgive without making excuses. Without refusing to bear that terrible burden of being the most awe-inspiring role model currently known to the mass population of mankind as a whole, that's real. Humility. Embracing the highest responsibility of loving unconditionally, which is to say loving openly, even when its reciprocity is nails hammered through the hands and feet, being forced into a crown of thorns, unspeakable cruelty. People are transformed permanently for centuries by that heavenly display of supreme vulnerability. Now, you and me, we can't always answer correctly WWJD in our lives, nor should we necessarily, but no doubt that's the attitude and belief that will be the source of healing the rifts and wounds of intolerance in our society. Offering back compassion, understanding, and generosity as a personal practice, granting the holistic gift of unity free of charge for everybody. This is infinitely better done then said. Seriously, this isn't philosophy. You and me need to start making like Gandhi and becoming the change we wish to see. The truth is paradoxical, truly, that experiences of hardship and hostility can bring us just as close, if not closer, to divinity than peace and prosperity. The intensity of the flames forges us into something that otherwise we could never be, and we return then to the place that we once started to see it for the first time, finally. Ultimately, there's nothing else to do but to seek to be the fullest expression of you in the face of persecution, misunderstanding, and ridicule. It is easy to be loving when love is given. But when you can be loving in the face of cruelty, then the Lord truly has risen, the second coming of Christ manifest in you. Now, this isn't about institutionalized systems of religion. You've already been forgiven for your past actions through the natural impersonal repercussions of your decisions. This is about recognizing increasingly subtle feelings and permitting ourselves to explore their meanings. This is about breaking down the walls of fear that limit your expression and capability to connect with others authentically. This is about loving yourself and nurturing your capacity to be gentle without rolling over to become a doormat in front of the closed gates of your own inner strength, becoming powerful without compromising gentleness of heart and goodness for goodness's sake. This is about embracing our darkness without being consumed by hate, but letting our wounds recreate our vast and ever-expanding inner state, moving beyond the realms of endless debate over philosophical semantics. This is an arena of inherently confronting external conditions specifically designed to test our limits so that we can grow up all the way, putting the shoe on the other foot until one day it finally fits. This is Dr. Scholes for the soul, spiritual orthotics, behavioral tonics, purifying the amniotic fluid of our fertilized gestating spirits, worries and fears diluted, birthing the newly awakened dreamer, eyes open, finally lucid. Being gentle in a confrontational world is a tremendous task. You have to become uncompromisingly inclusive in your interactions, a druid of earth-based skyward devotional actions. Most people want to be king of the hill. Last man standing, shoot first, ask questions never. Generals and commanders of dissatisfaction, but don't let the behavior of others be in any way a distraction from this noble task of being the best version of yourself. Instead, become the harmonious force of entrainment for their dissonance, that persistent force running rampant every moment, every instance, in every corner of this planet. Join the dreamers, the doers, the believers, the truth seekers seeking to infuse this earth-shaped spaceship with a golden age collective consciousness. It doesn't take much to be a positive influence. A smile here, a kindness there, a small effort to share something, anything, behaving like you care. You matter in the smaller and the larger scheme of things, just like every other awe-inspiring being stumbling and bumbling their way through this dualistic dream. Wherever you come from and whatever you believe, we are here together for the time being. And we need each other. Can you hear this? Can you see? Yeah, being gentle is hard, but being hard isn't even worth being.
Love it. Yeah, your spoken word is always blows my mind. It's always so relevant and spot on. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, we are starting to run low on a little bit of time. We got about maybe maybe 10 minutes left, 9 minutes. So I know you're doing a lot of work here locally in Vancouver. Maybe tell people the work you're doing and how they can get a hold of you if they want to, you know, see and hear more spoken word. You know, I know you got some coaching programs, you've got some medicine work stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Okay, great. Yeah, we got a lot of things going on. Myself and my partner facilitate plant medicine journeys here in Vancouver. I'm not going to go in detail over the radio, but if anyone's interested, you can reach out to me. We work with the forest medicine, if you know what that is. And we actually have a retreat coming up September 4th to 7th over in Maple Ridge. And that's going to be a deep dive into the most effective tools of transformation that we have. So myself and Agar are also breathwork practitioners. We're going to be offering breathwork, a sound journey. We're going to be doing combo. If anybody has worked with combo before,
powerful medicine.
Amazonian frog medicine that really helps clean out your entire system. It's really powerful purgative and cleanser. We're going to be doing a deep dive plant medicine journey. I'm going to be guiding a full transformative art process, and we're going to have a full day dedicated to integration where you have personalized attention and support. So that's coming up September 4th to 7th. If you want info on that, you can find all the details in regards to our ceremonial offerings and upcoming events on our website, thesomaheart.com.
It's in the comments down below here on Facebook too.
Yeah, great. And then if you're interested in any type of one-on-one sessions, I do breath work. I'm also a consciousness coach. I take on one-on-one clients, and I have a masterclass for men, which is a six-week curriculum that combines daily videos and action steps, along with weekly coaching calls and access to a private community of men that is specifically designed to equip men with a full skill set and toolkit to be able to apply consciousness architecture in their life, to release trauma, to activate intention, to resensitize their emotional landscape, to develop healthier communication, and a whole bunch more. And if you're interested in that, you can reach out to me either through Instagram, Facebook, or through my website, which is deusforte.com. That's deusforte.com. And as for my spoken word pieces, I'm slowly releasing them online. It's taken a really long time to do because I'm hesitant to put it in a static format, really honoring like the living essence of it, but recognizing that I want to make it more available to people. So the easiest way to access the stuff I do have online is just through my YouTube channel, and you can just look me up. It's Deus Forte.
Well, and I think, you know, it's a sign of the times with what's going on. You know, I don't know how long it's going to be before you can fill a stadium, you know, with your work. It's a pretty crazy world with, you know, professional sports being played in empty state. Like I couldn't mm-hmm. imagine what it's like for these hockey players and things, right?
You know,
everything's changing. And this is why this online format and forum, I think is, you know, as, you know, transformation agents, we need to be comfortable and get used to working with these things, because this is a sign of the times. This is something that, you know, we talk about being innovative and being flexible and taking a look at what's happening in the world. It's how do I adjust? How do I, you know, adapt to what's going on so we can still do the work? And this is one of the ways. And, you know, I had one friend the other day, you know, she was like, well, I don't want to do Zoom meetings. It's like, get used to it. They're shutting us down even more with music in the parks and things like that. So,
you know, this is a growth edge for me for sure.
Yeah. And it's certainly something it's for me, it's really bringing all the things I dreamed about together. Cause even when I started with Conscious Living Network and started doing events, I wanted to live stream everything we did. Right. And it just never really developed with everything else I was working on. And, you know, had I even started that then 3 years ago, ahead of the curve. And even then, you know, we're adapting with Conscious Living Radio, just going on Zoom and doing it in this format as live, because social media is the way to go. This is just what's happening in the world. So many people are doing it, and we have to adapt. We have to adjust and find the way, because, you know, the world is always changing.
Yeah.
And flexibility is an important part of, you know, when we talked about being rigid earlier, you know, being in that box, well, that's getting, you know, it's all changing.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying, because this is the potential that we have right now. And we're blessed to have the technology that we have, where we can actually reach out and make these connection points, even if we're not in the same physical location. So yeah. I really honor and appreciate all the work that you're doing in Conscious Living Network to actually create as many connection points as possible, because it takes a lot of work to do that.
I say yes to damn near everything. Hey, can we do an interview? Yes. Yes. Right. Because why not? You know, it's I'm always passionate about sharing people's work and helping them reach more people. And because if there's one thing any of us says that makes a difference to one person, then our work here is done. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, and my expectation is we reach more people and help more people, yet it's that ripple effect in the pond.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe a note on that for anybody who's listening, I really encourage you to check out all the resources that are available through Conscious Living Network and Conscious Living Radio. There's such a huge database of resources. The community around it is huge and passionate about this kind of transformational work across a huge spectrum. So check out their resources and sign up and contribute, because what you have to contribute to those spaces really helps to create a much stronger community across the board.
Thank you for that, Dais. It's great to know that our work is reaching people, and just the adjustment of being online and doing what we're doing. It's again, we have to adjust, we have to adapt, and make the best out of what the world's offering us. Because there's some things we can change, there's something we can't change. Big part of wisdom is knowing the difference.
Thinking you know the difference and then realizing that you didn't.
but it's just it's the awareness to just be and to respond versus react, and do the best that we can with what we've got, to love each other, to care, to be compassionate and graceful, and active. Let's be active in creating the world that everybody says that they want, yet so few are willing to do the work to make it that way. We have enough knowledge, resources, ability. This planet has everything it takes to be able to support each and every one of us in a healthy, abundant way. And we need to come together as humanity, as mankind, and finally realizing that, this greed and bullshit about money and accumulation and consumerism and everything else is what's destroying our planets, what's destroying our humanity, it's what's creating more separation. And we need to come together in a more simplicity of life and nature and the divine plan for all of us. So I thank you for your work, because I know you make a big difference in a lot of people's lives with your coaching and with the work you and Agatha are doing. So I'm always happy to support in any way that we can to get your message and your work out there to those that resonate.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, thank you for everything that you do. It's been a pleasure to be on this call with you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So my name is Mark Curran. We're here on Conscious Living. You're going to be airing on Wednesdays every Wednesday for the past 12 years, 6 p.m. And we air on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver. Again, thank you very much, Dais, for joining us. Always a pleasure to have a great conversation, and we look forward to sharing the mission. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll see you again.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciousliving.org.